Welcome back to Random Trek, the podcast in which I, your host, Scott McNulty, discuss a random episode of Star Trek with a non-random guest. I am joined by yet another repeat guest, Jackie Chang. Jackie, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Scott, for having me.
It is my pleasure. Why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself, Jackie, before we jump into Star Trek talk?
Oh, man. Well, let's see. Until extremely recently, I was the editor-in-chief of The Wirecutter. I guess we got rid of the, so it's actually Wirecutter.
No more articles.
I recently stepped back from being editor so I could take a little time to myself and figure out what I'm doing. So I'm actually, I'm describing myself on Twitter as local artist. I'm pursuing some writing projects. I'm doing some music stuff. I'm talking to some friends and startups. So looking to cause some trouble, but I'm kind of just doing the hustle right now. Yeah, and on Twitter I am eJackie, E-J-A-C-Q-U-I.
And you should follow Jackie for all your hustle needs. I don't know what that means, but so Jackie, you've been up before. I know you like Star Trek. You're probably not a Star Trek super fan.
I guess so. I mean, you know, back in the day I wouldn't have said that, but maybe today I would. Yeah, super fan, sure.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. What is your, I don't know if I've asked you this before, who across all Star Trek franchises and movies, favorite character?
You know what? I like Troy a lot. And that used to be an unpopular opinion. It probably still is. I don't know. But I maybe even went on a rant like a million years ago on this show about Troy. But I like Troy a lot. I think she's a really good character. I think they use her a lot to really like reveal what's happening within characters, like pretty much in every single time she appears.
So she does.
Yeah, it's pretty much her thing. And I guess in a lot of ways, I also think that I'm a lot like her. So that's why I like Troy.
Oh, are you very empathetic?
Yeah. Maybe this is TMI, but I had a couple therapists who said that I was an empath.
Ooh.
So I was like, oh, just like Deanna Troi. They're just like, okay.
they write down a note. You're like, what are you writing down? It's a valid reference.
Exactly. But no, I think she's good. And she's in this particular episode as well.
She is. I think she is perhaps poorly used in this episode, but she is, in fact, in this episode. The episode that we're going to talk about before, I don't think we're going to dive right in, but I do want to say the episode we're talking about is They Might Be Giants. Not a They Might Be Giants. I'm looking at Memory Alpha and TNG, and that got turned into TMBG in my head for some reason. The Next Thanks. Generation. Although I would watch Star Trek, They Might Be Giants. That's like two of my favorite things together. Star Trek The Next Generation, episode season 4, episode 25, In Theory. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you before we dive into it is you like the technology or you're knowledgeable
sure, yeah.
about technology. I don't know if you like it or not. That's a value judgment, but you know about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Do any of us really like technology anymore?
We use it. It ruins everything.
Right. These days, I mean, what can you really say? But sure.
You may know where I'm going here, but if you could have any particular technology from Star Trek become a real thing and use every day, what Star Trek technology would you pick?
You know, this is probably going to be a very... very me answer, but I think the universal translator is something that would be both very useful to me personally in a selfish way and also useful to society in general if we had something like that. And part of the reason I say this is selfishly because I tried to write a program kind of like this, like back in like the year 2001 or something. And it mostly was via text chat, but anyway, long story short, we tried to comb Babelfish's servers and got like banned from them. So, in the end, like it didn't work because I was trying to like translate a live text chat. And then we got banned. So what I'm saying is the Universal Translator is like my long-term dream for that project. Probably plus 1,000 years and where Babelfish doesn't ban you.
Yeah, that's terms and conditions. They apply all the time. I think that's so the interesting thing about the Universal Translator, I was about to say as you were talking that we're probably close to it, but we're not. We're close to yes. probably real-time translation. But the Universal Translator does so much more than real-time translation. It understands nuance and it translates, you know, like cultural references to the right cultures so you get them.
Yeah, it's very smart. It knows how to contextually put, you know, everything in the right context. I know that one is going to be still probably a long time away.
Well, sign me up. I was trying to think what I would pick.
What would you pick?
Well, as I watched this episode, there was an interesting point at which Data comes home, or he doesn't come home. He visits his lady friend's quarters, and he says to her, "Oh, would you like dinner?" And he walks over to the replicator, and she says, "Oh, I'm too tired to think about dinner." Because I would always think, well, I'd pick the replicator just because I think that solves a lot of problems and you can create lots of cool stuff. But then the problem would become, if you had a replicator and you could eat whatever you wanted for whatever meal, I would be like paralyzed with choice because there are too many things to choose from.
That is very true. Actually, maybe this just reveals my thought process, but I was like, how do you not just eat all the worst foods? But then I suppose because it's being created on the fly, nutritionally, they could kind of just make it whatever you need, I suppose.
That's what I imagined, that you could just have like chocolate cake for dinner and it would still meet all your nutritional needs and not be bad for you.
Well, see, in that case, that's great. Yeah. So maybe that's what we should go with.
Just good for you chocolate cake. That is the Star Trek technology we want. If you're listening, please send it to me.
Yes.
And that's also a very Deanna Troi answer. She's a chocoholic.
Oh, is she? Yes, she is, isn't she? I forget about that.
See?
Okay.
There you go. It all comes full circle. That's my job as the host, to bring this all full circle. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. But let's jump right into the episode at hand, which is kind of a strange episode. I feel like I say that for maybe 80% of Random Treks. This continues the trend. This is the episode, I think, best summed up with Data. I was going to say gets a girlfriend, but I don't know. I guess she's his girlfriend for a little while and then not. It's very confusing.
It's really weird. The whole thing is actually pretty weird. So one thing I want to say before we start getting into the plot is that as I was brushing up on this, I realized this episode was actually directed by Patrick Stewart.
Yes.
And I think it might have been his first one that he directed, which is kind of a funny little side note. Well, let's get into it.
Let's go. So the Enterprise is, it's important that you know the Enterprise is outside a dark matter nebula, because hijinks ensue from that nebula and they're going to shoot a photon torpedo at it to measure things, but that doesn't really matter.
No, it's funny because obviously, I mean, I'm just going to spoiler alert right now, like, obviously the nebula is like, you know, a major part of the plot, but in a classic Star Trek way, they kind of just introduce it casually. They're just like, oh, there's this nebula. It's totally fine. Nothing's happening over there.
No.
And also kind of throughout the whole thing, they sort of act like that too, I think. In the end, it's always the nebula.
Yeah. It seems as though there are a lot of weird things happening on the ship throughout this episode. And nobody thinks maybe it's the big nebula that we're in. Everyone's like, I don't know what's going on.
They're just like, cool, looks cool.
I'm sure there's nothing wrong with this nebula. Let's go.
Yeah.
And so this is what we're introduced to, Jenna DeSora, who is a character I believe that is only in this episode. I could be wrong. Please write me if I am. And she, it's unclear to me what her position is, because at first I thought she was reported to Data, but later we find out she reports to Worf.
Right. I actually... I got distracted as I was watching this episode and I came back to it and I was like, where did this woman come from? she's not in any other episode and she just kind of shows up. So I'm not really sure. Like, I also thought she reported to Data because at some point he makes some weird comment that almost sounds like he's like doing her performance review, which is hilarious. But then, yeah, like she's reporting to Worf and then she's like working in engineering. Like, I'm not really sure what her deal is. And then she kind of goes away too, like right after this. So
she's like, peace out, everybody.
She's just there. She's just there to woo Data, I guess.
She's a plot device, I guess. She's a security officer, which I guess, so they're Data and this woman are, Jenna, are modifying a photon torpedo. So I only assume that she's involved because it's a photon torpedo, because she doesn't really help Data do anything.
And I think later he critiques her understanding of it.
Yes.
Which is nice.
And I also think, in defense of Jetta, I would not want to be assigned to do any task with Data, because you know he's going to be better at anything.
Right.
Unless it's emotion based. So,
but, and yet somehow, so they're like working together, but he knows already some kind of background, because he's like asking her about, they're making small talk about like her dating life, basically. And then he finds out via that small talk that she and her boyfriend broke up.
Yes. Well, he knows she used him. It is clear they've had conversations before, because she told him that if she ever mentions trying to get back together with Jeff, which is her ex-boyfriend, that he should tell her, list the many reasons why she should not do that, which include the noise he makes while eating soup. Seems a little petty to me, but
yeah. And I think it's funny, because Data is reciting this, and at first you're like, oh, Data's being like a mansplainer, but then it comes out that she actually asked him to do this. So then it's funny, because it's like a robot joke. He's like, oh yeah, I do that every time. Do you want to terminate the command? And she's like, no,
please continue with this. I really don't want to, I know we've all been there, where we're attracted to people we know aren't good for us. So it's nice, I guess, to have a person who will tell you without prejudice, hey, don't go back with Jeff. He's no good. And the Enterprise really isn't that big, because later on, everybody knows that she's broken up or going out with Jeff. Everyone's like, whoa, I thought she was going out with Jeff. And then Data's like, no, they broke up. And they're like, oh, no. It's a very chatty episode.
Right. Everyone is gossiping here, and Data the most, I think.
Yes. And so they're doing this probe, and this is really the reason for the scene, is so that we find out that Jenna is recently single, and she says that Data, she calls Data sweet, and it's clear that she has a kind of like a crush on Data. And you think, oh boy, this is not going to end well for anybody involved.
I think that everyone would probably agree just from the start. Everyone's like, this is not going to go well. And yet it is really disturbing that this poor woman would begin to fall in love with Data. I mean, of course, we all love Data, right? I love Data.
I do too.
You know, he's a great guy. He's very funny. Seems like a good companion to have on the ship. But I just think it's very disturbing to fall in love with him. So the fact that she calls him sweet is already really, causes me to furrow my eyebrow.
And I just want to say, no, don't do it, Jetta. Why? There are lots of other people on the Enterprise. I mean, I love Data. He's great.
But yeah.
Maybe somebody with emotions who can understand.
Right. It just doesn't seem right.
No.
But I think maybe in this scene, he reveals that he's like beginning to study relationships, which is also kind of funny and strange, either this or in the next scene. And everyone's kind of like, oh, that's weird. But for some reason, he's doing that. He's like, oh, I just think human relationships are very interesting.
Data's a man of many interests. He he has a lot of processing power. He doesn't sleep, so he needs to do something, one assumes. And then, I was very excited in the next scene, because I was talking to you about it. But this is yet another example. The Enterprise, this seems like there are very few leisure activities on the Enterprise. You're either at the holodeck or attending a recital.
Yes, I agree completely. And, you know, it's funny, because I was very excited as well. Maybe because I am a musician, but I was very excited. This was a chamber music scene. And Data is playing like the oboe or something, and his crush here is playing the flute. And I think it's like her first performance, and it turns out later she was really nervous about it. She reveals. But it's really funny, because like, I don't know. I always wonder, you know, are there multiple chamber groups? Are there multiple performances? Do people just go around and go to performances on the ship? I don't know. I have a piece of artwork that I have of a chamber performance on the Enterprise that I bought on the internet, and Data is playing the violin. And I think Data does in fact play the violin in some other episodes. So then I was like, oh, does he just play multiple instruments? What's going on there?
I assume Data can play any instrument he wants, because he can learn it instantly. And there are multiple episodes where they have various recitals and Data is always in them. So I feel like he must be big into music. And they say music is very mathematical, right? So I guess it makes sense that it would appeal to Data.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, if you had a robot that could play music, you'd probably use that robot to fill in for any instrument that you're missing.
That's true. But Data has free will. He can, if he doesn't want to play, they're like, hey, Data, our Ensign Williams, who plays the sousaphone, is sick. Could you? And he'd be like, no, I draw the line at sousaphones.
Oh, man. Well, okay, that's fair. That's fair.
I'm not sure what kind of recital includes a sousaphone, but...
Yes. But then I think it's right after this chamber music performance where... I think maybe that's when they're all socializing or something afterwards. Yes. And that's when, like, I don't know. I think he and Jenna are hanging out with O'Brien and Keiko, like, yes, as couples, which also I find it's very disturbing. Weird. I just want to say I found the whole scene very disturbing.
Yeah, I found it weird because, well, A, this gives me an opportunity to express my wife's grievance that Keiko O'Brien took Miles O'Brien's last name. She doesn't like that. So I'm going to, she thinks in the future women wouldn't take men's last names. So there you go. Feel free to email me your opposing views on this, but I'm just expressing what my wife says. I also find it weird that they don't, the O'Briens don't look at each other and say, isn't this kind of weird that Jenna and Data are like a couple?
Because especially at the end of this whole like banter that they have, Jenna is like, she's like touching him and she's like kind of acting like she's like a little flirty. I definitely, if I was in that situation in real life, like Keiko, I would be like weirded out. I'd be like, what the hell?
For many reasons.
And, yeah, right. I'd be like, what is happening here exactly between you and this robot?
Well, maybe that's what she, they go back. I can only imagine the O'Briens go back to their quarters and all they can talk about is this weird interaction that they had with Jenna and Data. And here's my problem. There are two problems, main problems I have with this relationship between Jenna and Data. One, it's a bad idea because Data doesn't have feelings and Jenna is just pursuing something that is fraught with peril. And two, Data is a superior officer to Jenna. So that just seems like it is like HR should be involved somehow and should not let this happen.
Well, let's just say that Star Trek has... I think always had issues, in my opinion, being problematic with sexual harassment in the workplace. Mm-hmm. I feel like most episodes have some kind of sexual harassment in the workplace, especially. And so I feel like these are the kinds of things that during the time when this was made, you know, people kind of weren't thinking about those kinds of things so much.
It is true, but it just is like, oh boy, this is a bad idea, everybody.
I also just want to quickly comment that this entire conversation between O'Brien and Keiko and Data and Jenna is basically about how O'Brien cannot like put his own damn socks into like the laundry hole.
It's true.
And Keiko is like, oh, and then I eventually did it for him because it was so disgusting and the pile was so huge. And then everyone just laughs. And then he's like, ah, she does it better than me anyway. Like, what the hell? Like, and then Data, my favorite part though, is that Data is like weirdly disturbed by this. Like, this is one of those Data moments where he's like, I don't understand like why this is funny to anybody. Like, you can't do your own laundry.
It's true. Data's like, this is not funny. This seems like an unneeded thing that Keiko has to do. Get your act together, Miles.
Exactly.
Is what he's thinking. And while this is all happening, a hypo spray falls in sickbay. Because there's a thing that's happening, but we'll figure out what's happening there, but it doesn't really matter. And then, they go back to the torpedo tube, and Data's working. Jenna is clearly not. She's just kind of hanging around for no apparent reason. And she kisses him. And I think, oh boy, that's not good.
Also not good in the workplace, I think.
Yeah, you shouldn't. You should wait until you're off duty to kiss. And also, you shouldn't kiss Data. Just in general, it's not a good idea.
Yeah, right.
That's all I'm saying. And this is when now Data is in a quandary and does what any sensible android will do. And talks to every single person on the ship about what he should do.
I think at first he goes to Guinan, who is, of course, Whoopi Goldberg, which is very exciting because I also love Guinan as a character. So, you know, everyone goes to Guinan. She's kind of almost like Troy, where she's like a secondary sort of counselor. And so he's like, oh, what should I do? And Guinan's like, oh, tell me more. She's like, wrapped up in the gossip. But then Data goes around and tells like every single other person who will possibly listen. He's like, he's asking Troy, he's asking LaForge. I got really upset because he asked, what's his name? Sorry, Riker? Now I can't remember his name, Riker. He was like asking Riker, and of course Riker gives him like the worst advice of all. Riker's like, who cares? She knows what she's getting into. Doesn't matter. And I'm like, of course Riker would say that. He doesn't know like what human emotions are.
But, you know, he's up on consent because he's all like, she knows what she wants. So that's okay. So you're good to go.
Right. I guess. But he's not like, oh, you know, maybe this is going to hurt everybody involved. Like, probably not the best idea. No, he's like, hey, do it, man. Like, whoever heard of a human and an android fucking,
it's probably
that's
fine.
Probably exactly what he was thinking.
Probably. So. But we do know that Data is fully functional. So.
Right, which of course is the reminder every time one of these episodes comes up.
It's true, you've got to remember. And I will say, so he goes to Guinan, who I think is probably a good person to ask, and she doesn't really give him any advice one way or the other. She's just like, oh, it'll be a new experience. He goes to LaForge, who's like the worst person on the ship to ask, because Geordi has nothing but a horrific experience in his life with relationships, from creepily falling in love with a hologram of an actual person and then weirdly meeting that person and hoping that she would think it was a compliment and totally not thinking it was a compliment because it's creepy.
Yes.
Don't ask Geordi for love advice. And to Geordi's credit, he does say, dude, don't ask me.
Very true.
And I feel like the only person he should ask is Counselor Troy. And he does ask her.
Yes, he does. And she is, I actually would say, I think she's kind of appropriately disturbed at first. She's kind of, you know, put off in the right way. She's like, oh, this is weird. But then I think it weirdly in the end, she like agrees to it because they're trying to paint like everyone as being like, oh, you should do it. Like, it could be really fun. Like, Data's a real person.
Well, Data is a real person. He's a sentient being, right? And I do think she's the one, Troy is the one that is most realistic. She's like, you know,
yeah,
it could be troublesome, but it'll be a new experience. Just, you know, keep that in mind. Riker, yes, just is like, go for it, dude. Everybody, she's okay. You're all legal.
right.
Nothing's wrong with it. And then I just said that Geordi may have been the worst person to ask, but I think he is second worst. The first worst person to ask is Worf, who he goes to talk to.
Yeah, he does.
And Worf is not very helpful.
I almost can't remember what Worf says. Worf probably was just like, Worf hates everything. So I guess in my mind, he probably just like poo-pooed it.
Well, he said that Klingons aren't romantic. They conquer.
Oh, yes.
And this is where we find out that she reports to Worf. And right. He says if she gets hurt, he will be very displeased.
He basically threatens Data.
He does threaten Data.
He kind of plays the role of like the protective, like father or like sibling character or something.
And in my favorite interaction in this sequence is when he goes to ask Captain Picard, because you can see Patrick Stewart. Clearly, Captain Picard has heard Data is going to everybody for this advice and has been avoiding Data so that he doesn't have to give him any advice on this subject. And he cannot avoid Data anymore. And so he's like, Data, listen. I know you've been asking everybody, and once I understand anything about women, I will pass you that advice along to you, and just kind of gets himself out of there. Which is funny, but kind of cowardly, because I think Captain Picard knows that this is a bad idea.
Picard is like, he's like, this is a major HR violation, and I don't want to be part of it, basically.
I don't want this on my record. I'm shooting for admiral. Yeah. Just leave me out of this.
Yeah. He's like, you guys figure this out. Like, I don't know.
Riker's in charge of the crew.
Exactly. Right. It makes perfect sense, actually. Yes, exactly. But that scene is funny because Picard is clearly frustrated because he has heard about this basically millions of times already, I'm sure, which made me realize this poor woman. Now Data has basically told everybody, mm-hmm. which I think she tries to confront him about later. that they are maybe seeing each other, which is kind of weird, you know? Like, what if you're trying to hit it with an Android and then he goes and tells everybody?
Yeah, maybe she just wants to keep it on the down low, Data. She's already she's had a very public breakup because everybody knows about her and Jeff. And now suddenly everybody knows that she's going for Data.
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing.
It's true. You know,
she's still okay with it in the end. So
she is because she's just obsessed with Data. Obsessed is a bad word, but she's jonesing for Data. She's not obsessed with him. That's bad connotations there. But anyway, so he talks to everybody and they're all basically, they go from gradients of, it's a new experience to totally do it. And so he says, yeah. Okay, he gets the flowers and he goes and visits her and is basically like, we are going out now.
And I think she's pretty happy about it. She's like, all right, cool.
Yeah. And he says,
in the end,
he's very romantic. And he says, and I think this is kind of a weird scene because she's like, he's like, oh, I created a program to deal with this romantic relationship. And she seems kind of insulted, which then you make yourself think, well, don't you know what Data is?
Right. this is already like flag number 800 as to why she should probably not do this.
Yeah, I should say here, people who are listening and who are angry are like, hey, androids deserve love as well. I agree that in theory, Data should have all the love he wants, even though he is in fact incapable of loving. But he needs to have a partner who understands the repercussions of his lack of emotion. And if they're okay with that, that's fine. But it is clear in this episode that Jenna is kind of imprinting her own emotions on him, this blank slate, and expecting him then to fulfill this idealized Data that she has in her head. It's not going to end well.
It's not. And so, yeah, so he's like, she makes some comment where she's like, oh, so I'm just a variable in your program. And then my favorite part is that he's like, no, he's like, you're like a whole sub program in the program.
And she was like, oh,
she's like, oh, that's so sweet. Oh, like, oh, no one has ever done that for me.
And you're like, oh boy. And then they kiss and you're like, oh boy, this is,
oh my God. This is not
good. And at that point when they were leading into kiss, I did say out loud, I was watching this by myself, and I said out loud, Data, don't do it.
Don't do it.
It's just a bad idea. And you can't blame either of them, because Data is trying to please his friend, and she clearly is just lonely and Data's nice, so she's coming from a breakup. So I just blame everybody else for not telling him to not do this.
Yeah, I really have to agree. I blame everyone for encouraging this, because yes, obviously this is a terrible idea.
It is not good. And all the while this is happening, stuff is falling down. Like, literally objects are falling through other objects throughout the ship. Yeah,
like at some point somebody, like, there's a scream and then there's this woman who's like, she like has fallen through the floor and she's like halfway into the floor and frozen for some reason. Mm-hmm. Which is very disturbing. It's a very disturbing scene.
And that's that's the point at which they think, oh, maybe we should look into this weird thing that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, right. So, like, weird shit is happening. I actually did a Random Trek episode before. I can't remember the episode, but it was similar to this, where, like, random weird shit was happening. I think it was one where Wesley had, like, caused some kind of issue, and there was, like, a time portal opening up or something.
Created a warp bubble that, and Dr. Crusher was the only person who noticed, and people were missing.
Exactly. So I feel like this is kind of similar. Like, weird shit was happening, and then now suddenly this woman like ends up halfway through the floor and they're like, oh, I guess we should finally investigate it.
This seems dangerous. And so they figure, let's deal with that. So they figure out, oh no, it's the dark matter that's creating like subspace bubbles and it's causing things. And so they have to have a kind of a boring, which is supposed to be exciting, chase to get out of the nebula. So Captain Picard, for some reason, decides that he must go into the shuttlecraft to shepherd them out of the nebula, which is like a bad idea because he's the captain. And
it's such a dumb scene too, because like actually it's not totally clear why he insists that he has to do it. In fact, I was watching the episode and I somehow missed why. Like, I only kind of came back to consciousness as he was debating, as like Riker as to why he should go. And Riker's like, excuse me. He's like, I'm the first officer. I'm supposed to be protecting you. And Picard's like, fuck you. I need to go. And then Riker's like, okay. And he just lets him go. And I'm just like, okay, that was weird. Like, I don't think that would play out like that in real life.
Yeah. And I thought, as I was watching that scene, I thought, I don't think either of them should go. Riker shouldn't be piloting the shuttlecraft. And Picard shouldn't be. They should find their best pilot, which is clearly not Riker or Picard, and put them in the shuttlecraft. And the only thing that I could think of is, because that's the only scene, and the way that the only explanation Picard gives is he says, Will, I have to do this. It's my ship. And Will's like, okay. So I'm assuming Captain Picard doesn't want to entrust anyone else with the dangerous mission of guiding the Enterprise out of the nebula. It doesn't make any sense. It's stupid.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Maybe that's why I feel like there was no why, because there is no why. He's just like, I just got to do it, man.
I got to do it, man. He's got the need to slowly pilot a shuttlecraft out of the nebula.
But yeah, so he does it, and it's like a dumb decision, but fine, whatever. I mean, I think they could have done without it in this episode. But
that's true. They didn't even need this whole B-plot. And so Captain Picard almost dies, but you know he's not going to die because he's Captain Picard. He gets back on the Enterprise gets out, and it's fine. The whole point of this episode is Data, the weird Data-Jenna relationship,
yeah,
which continues because then Data shows up and he gives her flowers and she's happy.
Oh, he's acting like a crazy person, isn't he? He's like, honey, I'm home.
Yes, this is the one where he clearly has ingested many like rom-coms and like 1950s sitcoms and says, hi, honey, I'm home. And then he it's unclear to me. The way I read it was that he set up this whole situation so that they could have an argument.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Because then they have the argument, and he says, you're not my mother.
Well, so, yeah, I have a whole side observation on this. But, yeah, that was this entire dynamic actually in the scene is super bizarre. And actually, maybe it's very telling culturally. Sorry, should I say my side observation?
Please.
So as I was watching the scene, yes, you're right. He obviously has been studying like historical, like films and books and whatever on like relationships, and now he's acting it out. And so I was I actually wrote a note to myself, which is that if Data is studying all these kind of historical, cultural literary sources, you know, why? What makes this scene maybe not turn violent? Like, ooh, when he got really angry and he was like, you're not my mother. Like, I was watching this with my husband, Clint, and we both gasped. And I was like, oh my God. Like in like a 1950s movie, this is when like the dude, like, gets up and like tries to smack her. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, where does Data draw the line on reenacting, you know, what he has studied? But they did not go there in this episode. Thank goodness. But I was wondering if they would.
That would have been a shocking decision had they decided to do that. But I totally see where you're coming from. And I hadn't gotten that. But he does quickly, like, so Data doesn't have any emotions, which is the whole point of this, right? And so he's just mimicking what he thinks is right. So
yeah, flares up kind of. He's like, you're not my mother.
Yeah, like out of nowhere, it's just kind of like, whoa, he goes from being like this super kind of chill, like, let me get you some Saurian brandy, to you're not my mother. And she is quite confused, as well she should be.
I just appreciate that she like got pissed right away. She's like, excuse you, what the hell is wrong with you, Data? And then he's like, oh, I'm just trying to like do the whole relationship thing.
Yeah, she's like, you should leave. And he's like, you don't want to continue our lover's quarrel? And she's like, WTF. He's like, I'm just trying to make you happy. I don't know. I don't have emotions. Is this not right?
I don't know what's going on. And then that's when she kind of realizes that he really doesn't know what's going on. And she's kind of making a mistake, I think.
I think
she's
that's
like,
true.
This is the moment for her.
Yes. Because, you know, I think in like a fantasy, Data is like an ideal partner because he is super smart. He learns stuff. He helps you with all kinds of things. He cleans up your room, as he does on multiple occasions.
Yeah.
He's very smart. He's interested in music. He's interested in art. He will be interested in whatever you want him to be interested in. And he, you know, when he's kissing you, he's thinking of four other things and you're like third on the list, but still, you know, you're on the list.
Yeah. But, it's good. It's important.
But in practice, I feel like he's not a good partner, a romantic partner, I should say. He's definitely, I think Data should stay in the friend zone.
Now, you did just remind me, and I know this, we kind of skipped over this, but there was a moment in this relationship when Data was like, I think he was just bored and trying to fill the time. And he was like, can I organize your closet for you? And yes. She basically looks at him like he's crazy. I'm sitting here yelling at the TV. I'm like, yes, holy shit. Like, if there's anything you should ask your Android boyfriend to do is, like, organize your closet. Jesus Christ.
Yes, he was like, I found that it should be organized by dark to light color. And all of a sudden, they're like, yes, Data, do it. And she's like, no, this is crazy.
No. She basically says no, which is the wrong answer.
Yes, that is incorrect, Jenna. If you're going to get nothing out of this relationship, at least get an organized closet.
Yeah, jeez.
And, of course, time with Data.
This end scene, I have to say, the whole episode ends on the most hilarious dialogue, like, probably ever for me. Which is them coming back to the whole, like, program discussion, like whether Jenna was a program in Data's relationship thing. She's like, or no, he's like, are we no longer dating? And she's like, oh no, I guess not. And then he goes, I will delete the appropriate program. It's so dry.
That's true.
I just busted up laughing. It's just like, God. And then she just leaves. She's just like, ugh. Walks out.
Oh, that's so Data. And you're like, yes, he's an android. That's all it was.
Like, ice cold, man. He's like, all right, I'll delete you. Bye.
Okay, I don't even know who you are. I've locked you. And he's left alone with his cat, Spot, who turns into a different cat later when we see Spot later again. But
yes, last episode with this Spot.
Yes.
In it.
Yeah, and so this is—it's just weird there. And the other episode, the other scene that we didn't talk about, I want to quickly talk about, is when Jenna comes to visit Data, and he's like painting, and she comes early, and she has a present for him, and she says, "Hey, look, I've got this acrylic sculpture for you, because I know you like art." And then also, this is—I always have interesting questions because once again, as we know, the Federation, there's no money. Nobody has to do anything, right? And you have you have access to the replicator, as previously discussed, so you can replicate whatever you want. So what is the point in giving anyone a gift? Not that, you know, it's all about financials, but like,
I guess appreciating their sense of aesthetics.
I guess it's the thought, I suppose. It literally is the thought that counts in the 24th century because, it doesn't require anything else. Anyway, she gives him this, some kind of alien sculpture. And he has a thoughtful critique, I thought, and she was not pleased with his reaction. She said, I gave you a piece of artwork, but I didn't expect you to have a critique of it, which seems to me like you don't really understand Data.
I know. Again, yes, it's like she doesn't quite get what she has gotten into. And also, actually, you know, it's, the fact that she doesn't understand Data is probably the more obvious conclusion. I was like, well, you obviously don't understand art.
That is also true. There are two things you don't understand in this scene, art and Data.
Because if she can't listen to a thoughtful critique from an android, then, I mean, what are you so defensive about after That's all?
Right. And she's clearly not the right woman for Data anyway. So
exactly. And then also, actually, I objected to a scene within that scene where he tried to place it somewhere in
his place. This is what I wanted to get to.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, because the light, picks up the contours of the curves in the piece. And then she's just kind of like, oh, meh. And then he kind of picks up on that. And then he's like, oh, but maybe I could just put it right in the center of the whole room because it's cool. And then she's like, great. And I'm just sitting here being like, listen, like if the light picks up the contours like over in that corner, then maybe that's where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like if this were a gallery, that's where they put it.
That is the appropriate place. I did think that it was a better place for it. And she was like, oh, I can't believe you're putting it in the corner. And you're like, no, he has reasons for it. And they're the right reasons. And you're just upset.
It makes perfect sense, Jenna.
Oh, she's the worst. No, she's not the worst.
I'm on Data's side. I'm like, why would anyone date Jenna?
No. I think that what I take away from this episode is that Jenna needs to go talk to Counselor Troy. because she is working through some emotions and she is she's trying to get Data to help her, and he is not the right person to help her because he is incapable of giving her what she needs. She thinks that he is what she needs, but he is totally not. And by the end of it, she understands. But I feel like she could have saved herself a lot of grief if she just went to Counselor Troy.
Yeah, I think she should have gone. She should be going to Counselor Troy like twice a week.
I agree. Or she should just, you know, because this is a rebound relationship, she should have just went out with Riker and then moved on.
Exactly. Just, exactly. Hang out with Riker for a few weeks.
I feel like he's a good rebound guy because, you know, he's not, he's still in love with Counselor Troy. So he's just kind of, you know, footloose and fancy free. He's affable, but he's not in it for a long-term relationship. So nobody gets hurt. He has emotions. He'll play the trombone for you. It's fine.
Exactly. And then, you get to move on and no one cares. In a weird way, actually, the Data thing is strangely more emotionally intimate than dating Riker.
Yes, because you have to do twice the emotional effort.
Yeah, weird. That's kind of weird.
It is kind of weird. Yeah, it is. It is true. That if we've learned anything, we've learned if you want an uncomplicated, non-emotional relationship on the Enterprise, you don't go to Data, you go to Riker.
That's my advice.
And he'll make you an omelet in the morning. Data doesn't eat, so he'd be like, I don't know, what do you want?
He'd just use the replicator to make something, I guess.
That's right. He'd push a button or something and, you know, he'd say, this has 15% more vitamin B because I noticed you were a little sallow or something like that. And then you feel good about yourself. So, Jackie, overall, do you have any final thoughts about this episode? Is it a good episode? Perplexing?
I feel like every time I do one of these, it's weird, but and therefore this one is also weird. Mm-hmm. But in the end, I enjoyed it. I found it to be very, very strange, kind of in a Patrick Stewart kind of way. Mm-hmm. And it did raise a lot of questions about, human relationships as well as ethics. So overall, I think it was a good episode. It was very strange, though. And I can definitely see the elements of Patrick Stewart that came through in this one.
Yes, I agree. It is not a bad episode. It is an interesting episode. I just feel bad for Data and Jenna in this episode. I feel bad for Jenna more than Data because he has no emotions. So at the end, he's like, fine, whatever, I delete it. But one imagines Jenna has to deal with this a lot more over a longer length of time and feel kind of stupid about it because everybody... You have to think that everybody, when she comes into 10 forward the next time, everyone's going to look at her and start whispering about how she and Data aren't going out anymore and how weird it was that they were.
That's what I'm saying. Like, everyone obviously knows, so it's kind of embarrassing. But I don't know. You know, maybe everyone's very respectful. So who knows what happens to Jenna after this?
I feel like everyone is respectful, but they're still talking about it. Because when Data tells Geordi, Geordi's like, oh, she's not going out with Jeff anymore. And you're like, it hasn't changed that much in the future. There's still a lot of gossip.
Yeah, it's just like high school.
That's the Enterprise for you. Just like high school. I went to Catholic school, so there were uniforms there as well. So uniforms, it's all coming back together. Well, Jackie, thank you so much for joining me and talking about this strange episode of Star Trek.
Thank you so much, Scott. It was a pleasure.
The pleasure is all mine.